Want to welcome all of you to our service. Appreciate you being here. We're going to read two verses to get us started, but we will be looking at some other scripture in this chapter, so please, by all means, keep your Bible handy. But to get us started, I want us to read Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for those that have come. And Lord, I know that I don't have within me the ability to help anybody. So I ask you, Lord, through the preaching of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to do what needs to be done in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Father, that you would please help us to listen attentively and pay attention to the word of God. And Lord, whatever area of our life you might speak to us about, I pray this morning that we would have a submissive spirit. I pray, Lord, that we will respond the way you want us to respond. And Lord, when we leave here this morning, I pray that we can all say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Please help me now to say exactly what you want said, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, we'll be sure that we give you the thanks and the praise for everything, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. The title for the message this morning is Dig It Up. Dig It Up. And I want to get started by saying back in Joshua chapter 6, we read about the conquest of Jericho. And what we see there in chapter 6 is that Israel, through supernatural help from the Lord, was given victory over the city of Jericho. That's what you read in chapter 6. And then when you skip forward to chapter number 8 in this same book, you read about the conquest of Ai. And once again, you see that Israel is granted a great victory. So in chapter 6, you have victory, and in chapter 8, you have victory. But in chapter 7, sandwiched between these two great victories, you have defeat, discouragement, and death. And I say that because when you read chapter number 7, you find that on Israel's first attempt to conquer Ai, they were soundly defeated. And the people, along with their leader Joshua, were overcome with discouragement. And Israelites died when they made this first attempt. So between these two great victories, you have defeat, discouragement, and death. And the reason why this happened is because in verses 16 through 19 of chapter 6, we see where the people of Israel were told by their leader, they were told by Joshua, to be sure and not keep any of the spoils of war from their conquest of Jericho. That was what God told them. Those things were absolutely forbidden. So God said, you do not take any of those things. But when you come to chapter number 7 in verse number 1, you see there that a certain man by the name of Achan, look at chapter 7 verse number 1. A certain man named Achan, A-C-H-A-N, A-N. The son of Carmi, the Bible says there, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. This one man took that which God had said was forbidden. God said, when you go in and you take the city of Jericho, you don't touch anything. In fact, what you do is you bring all of the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron into the treasury of the Lord. But you don't take anything for yourself. You keep your hands off of that stuff. That's what God said. But then whenever they go in to take the city, this one man among so many by the name of Achan puts his hand on that which God had forbidden. And that is why you read in this chapter about defeat and discouragement and death. And when you look down at the verses we read just a few moments ago, verses 20 and 21, you find Achan's confession of what he did. So I want you to look back there at verse 20 again and notice it says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." One thing you got to give Achan credit for is that he at least admitted that he had sinned against God. I find as we go farther and farther along in these last days that it becomes harder and harder to get people to admit that they have sinned against God. What we want to do nowadays is we want to flower everything up. We're changing the names of certain things so that they don't come across as offensive and as a sin against God. But listen to me, folks. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. Do you understand that? You can call it whatever you want, but if it's wrong, it is a sin. And if it was a sin at one point, it's still a sin right now. But it's getting harder and harder to find people who will admit they've sinned against God. But here he did. Achan said, "I have sinned," and he says, "thus and thus have I done." In other words, I'm going to give you the specifics. I'm going to give you the details of what I did here. Verse 21, he says, "When I saw among the spoils," and this is another message really that could be preached, but while we're here, it's worth talking about. It says, he says, "When I saw among the spoils," and that is what wound up getting him in trouble, when he saw. He's looking at that which is forbidden, amen? God has already said you are not to have any of those things. You don't fool with it. But what he does is he starts looking at that stuff. He starts looking at what God has said he and all these other people are not to have. And it reminds me of some other stories that I read in the Word of God. It takes me first back to Genesis chapter 3, where we read about Adam and Eve and how they sinned against the Lord and plunged the whole human race into sin and death. Do you remember how the serpent came and he began to talk to Eve? Of course, we know that that was the devil in the serpent, and he's tempting her to do wrong. And the Bible says this. It says that when she saw that the tree was good for food, and pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, that she took and did eat and gave to her husband, and he did eat also. Notice the Bible says there that she saw. When she saw, you know what tree she's looking at? She's looking at the one tree in that garden that God said was forbidden. Amen? God said, "You are not to eat of the fruit of that tree." The devil starts talking to her and messing with her mind, and she starts looking again. She's casting her eyes over on that which was forbidden, what God said you are not to have. She just keeps looking at that thing, and she starts thinking about it and letting the words of the devil affect her thinking, and she's beguiled by the serpent, and she takes what God said she was not supposed to have and then gives to her husband, and he eats also. I'm reminded also of a story I read in 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, you have the story of when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. It was a very, very dark blot on the life of a man who's described as a man after God's own heart, amen? It was a bad time in his life, but David's up walking around on the roof of his house. He's supposed to have been out leading his armies, but for whatever reason, he decided to stay back in Jerusalem and just kick back and take it easy. He's been laying around taking him a little siesta, possibly after he ate lunch, and he gets up, and he goes out on the roof of his house, and he's walking around, and this is what the Bible says. The Bible says he saw a woman bathing herself. It says that that woman was very beautiful to look upon. You read on down, and the Bible says that David sent messengers. Listen now. It says he sent messengers and took her. Same thing it says back in Genesis 3. Eve's looking at that. She saw it, and then she took of that fruit and did eat. David's up there walking around, and he sees something that is forbidden for him to have. Amen. He's forbidden to have her. That is not his wife. That woman belonged to somebody else. But he's up there looking and he sees her. And then what does he do? He sends some messengers and he took her. He took what was forbidden for him to have for himself. Now look right here at this story we're reading. Joshua chapter 7 verse 21. He says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight then. And he's going to tell us three things that he did with what he saw. Number one, he coveted them. Now, covetousness, according to the Bible, is a sin in and of itself. Amen. Doesn't the word of God say, thou shalt not covet? That's what the Bible says. It also says that covetousness is idolatry. That's what the Bible says. And covetousness is a greedy, selfish, self-centered desire that a person has for something that they do not possess. And in some cases, a lot of cases, it's something that God never intends for them to possess. But here he covets them. He wants them. He sees it. He's looking at it and he sees how pretty they are and the value, and yet he knows in his mind and his heart that God has already said that is forbidden. But he looks at it to the point that he begins to covet. You know who he's thinking about here? He's just thinking about himself. He's not thinking about the rest of the people of Israel and the effect that taking those things might have on them. He's not thinking about his leader, Joshua. And most of all, he's not even thinking about God. He's just thinking about himself. He looks at it and he sees it and he knows that it's forbidden. He knows he's not supposed to have it, but he sees it and he looks at it and he begins to covet. And then notice the very next thing says, then I coveted them and, what's that word? Took them. That's the same thing it says in Genesis 3 and the exact same thing that it says in 2 Samuel 11. He saw it and then eventually he took it. You and I, and again this is another message, but you and I are playing right into the devil's hands if we are so foolish as to believe that it does not matter what we allow ourselves to look at. We're just playing right into the devil's hands. That's exactly what he wants us to think. He wants us to think that it doesn't matter so that we'll begin to look. That's what he wants us to do. He says all that stuff to Eve back there just to get her to thinking and to get her to let her eyes wander over on that which is forbidden and begin to look at that to the point that she starts to covet that herself and she winds up taking that. The same thing with David. The same thing with Achan. The devil wants us to believe it doesn't matter. He wants us as adults to think it doesn't matter what we set before our eyes. He wants us to actually become so arrogant and so egotistical and self-righteous that we think we have arrived at a place in our spiritual life where we can handle whatever it is we look at. You are playing right into the hands of the devil, friend, if that's what you believe. There's stuff in this world that's forbidden for you to have, amen? They stuff that God said, that doesn't belong to you. That's not for you. You are not to have that. You are to keep your hands off of it. And one of the best ways to avoid you putting your hands on something that God don't want you to have is to, first of all, keep your eyes off of what God doesn't want you to have. The more you look at it, the more opportunity you give the devil to work in your mind, to deceive you and beguile you like he did Eve, to the point that you began to covet and you began to deny what God has said and to think only about yourself and take something that God never intended for you to have. That's what this man did. He coveted and then he took them. But now notice this. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under. Three things that he did with what he saw. Number one, he coveted. Number two, he took. And then number three, he hid. That in and of itself proves that Achan knew that what he was doing was wrong. Amen. I mean, if it's not wrong, if it's all right, then why hide it? One of the surest ways you know that you're starting to dabble around in something that you have no business dabbling around is the fact that you don't want other people to find out about it. I mean, if it's all right, there's nothing wrong with it, then why hide it from everybody? Why try to keep it a secret from everybody? Why try to dig you a hole and put it down below the ground where nobody can find it if there's nothing wrong with it? The fact that he dug a hole in the ground and hid it shows that he knew what he was doing was wrong. He hid it. And look where he hid it. The Bible says he hid it in the earth, in the midst of his tent. You know what he does? He gets that stuff and he makes his way back to his tent, not letting anybody know about it. He goes inside of his tent, which is like his little place that he lives, and he digs him a hole. He digs out that hole in the ground, in the earth, okay? He digs that hole out and he takes all of this stuff that God has said you are not supposed to have, and he puts it down in there, and then he covers it all back up and he pats it down. He thinks, all right, I got my stuff and nobody knows about it. Let me just give you some things to think about real quick before we go any farther about things that are hidden. Number one, let me say this. According to the Bible, and we're going to look at some scripture right here in this chapter, you need to understand that God knows about your secret. You might get by hiding it from other people for a while, but God knows about your secret. Whatever it is, and maybe there's nobody like this morning, but then again, maybe there is. Whatever it is that you put your hand to that you know God doesn't want you to have, it's forbidden, and you're trying to hide it from everybody else, and maybe right now doing a pretty good job of hiding it, you just keep in your mind, the forefront of your mind, that the one who really matters above everybody else knows about your secret. There is nowhere you'll ever go that you'll hide from God what you're doing. Look at it right here in the Bible. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. He's been laying on the ground praying and begging God to give explanation for what has happened. Why did we get beat whenever we went against Ai? He's all discouraged and distraught. And God says, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel, verse 11, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Awaken went and got that stuff and took it back to his tent and dug him a hole in the ground. Like a dog when he gets a bone, man, he runs off digging a hole in the ground, ramming that bone down there like nobody's going to find it, you know, trying to hide that. Achan's in there digging a hole. He puts his stuff in the ground. And all the time, God knows exactly what he's doing. You just bear in mind this morning that God knows your secret. You just keep that in mind. Number two, let me say this about things that are hidden. They won't stay hid forever. They won't stay hid forever. Let me show it to you in the Bible. Look at verses 13 through 19. We're not going to read all these, but in verses 13 through 19, God exposes Achan and brings what he did out. He picks him from among all of the different tribes of people there and says, this right here is the man who took what he was not supposed to take. He hid it for a little while. He hid it in the earth, but eventually God brought to light what the man did. There was no secret anymore. Achan standing out here right by himself, and God has exposed him and his sin, showed it to everybody. Listen to me. You may hide it from people for a while, but you will not hide it forever. Either down here or at the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to expose your secret. Are y'all listening to me? The Bible says, you know what the Bible says? Be sure that your sin will find you out. Is that what the Bible says? Be sure that your sin will find you out. It says that he's going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. It says that he's going to bring to light the hidden things. Listen to that. The hidden things of darkness. Those hidden things. What we call in our day those skeletons in the closet. Those things we got hid down inside that maybe only God sees. Or maybe it's something external, but through craftiness we're hiding it from the eyes of others. Either way, God knows about it, and God's going to expose that. It will not stay hid forever. Number three, and this is really important about things that are hid. You cannot in your life have victory until that sin is dealt with. You can't have it. The book of Joshua is about whenever the people of Israel cross over the Jordan River to go in and possess the land that God told them they could have, right? And he had already told them that if you'll just do right, then I'll help you to drive all of those people out, and you can go in and take that land, and it will be your possession, and you'll have it. God said, I'll do that for you. But he had also told them that if they didn't do right, that he wouldn't help them. And here's the thing, folks, here's the thing. They cross over, and they doing good, and they get to Jericho, and everything's fine, and what does God do? God honors his word, and he blesses them, and they get that city. But then this man here decides to take something that was forbidden, and they go next to a little small place called Ai. So small they only take just a handful of soldiers, and they think, well, we'll just go up here and we'll take Ai and then we'll come back and everything will be fine. And it doesn't work out that way. They wind up getting defeated. They don't get victory over Ai until you get to Joshua chapter 8. But you know why they were able to get victory in Joshua chapter 8 over Ai? Because in Joshua chapter 7, they dealt with the sin in the camp. That's why they got victory. As long as that sin was there, there was going to be no victory. It had to be dealt with. Listen to me, folks. I am telling you one reason why so many Christians are living defeated Christian lives, well below the abundant life that God intends for them to have. One reason why they don't have the joy of their salvation anymore, and it just got the mully grubs all the time, and it's just humdrum, and they have no fire and no excitement about the things of God, and why they're just slowly dying in their spiritual life, is because they've got some stuff in their life that God said they're not supposed to have, and they have not dealt with that. It's hidden down in there. Some people have had it for a long time. Had it a long time. Stuff hid in the earth. But let me tell you something. If you want to have victory and you actually want to move on, you know, I've thought about it so many times because I've seen it in the ministry through these years. I've seen this scenario. I can't even fathom the times I've seen it. I've seen these people that got saved when they were younger, maybe a kid or a teenager or something like that. And they progressed along, did pretty good, and they got to a spot where that's just it. And now for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they're right in that same spot. They're not getting any more victory. They're not conquering any more places, gaining any more ground, possessing any more of the things that God intends for them to have. And so many times I've wondered, what in the world is going on? Why is it that those people are saved and been saved for all these years, but they're just right there and they're not growing and they're not getting closer to God and their life really isn't any different than it was 25 or 30 or 40 years ago? What is the problem? I'm not saying this is a problem every time, but one reason why some Christians have been the same for 30 and 40 years is because way back here, they got into something that was forbidden. And they have never dealt with that. It's just something they're carrying along with them through their Christian life. They won't deal with it. You're not going to have any victory. You're not going to move forward. You're not going to possess anything more that God wants you to have as long as you got this stuff secretly tucked away in your life, hiding it from other people instead of dealing with it. Look right here at Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 12. Look at it. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand. This is God talking to Joshua. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Why couldn't they stand? Because of what he just said in verse 11. Because they transgressed the covenant and took something that was forbidden for them to have. That's why God says the reason they got defeated is because they sinned. They took what was not theirs to have. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Now look at this. God goes on to say, neither will I be with you anymore. Look at it, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. See what he says? He says, first of all, this is why they got whooped. And he says, second of all they're going to get from this point forward is whooped again and again and again and again until they get rid of that accursed thing. He's saying, I'm not going to help you no more. You are right here. You have gone as far in your conquest of the land as you will go. You'll gain no more ground, get no more possession. Nothing else good is going to happen from this point forward until you deal with this issue right here. That's what God says. Things that are hidden. You can't have any more victory in your life as long as you've got stuff there that is forbidden. And you're hiding it out. Listen to me, folks. In the New Testament, Paul likens our bodies to earthen vessels. Have y'all ever read the passage? He likens our bodies to earthen vessels. One reason is because when God created man, he created man of the dust of the ground. So we're an earthen vessel. That's not stretching things. That's Bible. We are an earthen vessel, these bodies right here. Where was it that Achan hid what he was not supposed to have? In the earth. He dug him a hole in the earth, and that's where he buried it. There are a lot of Christians that have got some stuff hid in the earth this morning. Like I said earlier, it's either something that is internal that only God can see, or perhaps it is an external sin, but they're being very crafty and very deceitful, and they're hiding it from everybody. Maybe they're hiding it from their husband, their wife, their children, their friends, the people they work with, the people they go to church with, the pastor. Some people are masters at hiding things that are wrong that are in their life. That's where a lot of Christians are at today. Got stuff hid in the earth. They know it's wrong. Some of them been hanging on to that stuff for a long time. Long time. Man, I've met Christians through the years or people that told me they were Christians that were so full of bitterness, it was unreal. How many of you know bitterness is forbidden for a Christian? I can show that to you in the Bible, okay? It's forbidden. But they got that bitterness down in there, and you get to talking to them and exploring that thing, and it's something that happened 25 years ago, 35 years ago, 40 years ago. Somebody at church said a little something to them that they didn't like. Somebody they worked with hurt their feelings or did something to them that's wrong. And they got bitter, and they just been going all these years with that stuff down in their heart. just eat up with bitterness. Hid down in there, and really nobody, that's an internal thing, see, but it's down in there. That bitterness. Just stuff down inside. Unforgiveness. Hatred toward other people. Jealousy. Envy. Some people have external things that they've been hiding. Immorality. Fornication. Adultery. Dabbling in pornography. Some people that are married are flirting around with other people, sending out texts that are inappropriate to others that nobody knows about but just them and the person they're sending it to. Amen. This modern day of technology, everybody talks about technology. Hey, I'm thankful to a degree for the technology that we have, but I'm telling you, the more technology has increased, the more sin has increased in this world too, friend. More and more. You got these husbands and wives, they get off away from their spouses, and they got people they're texting, sending them inappropriate messages. And only them and the person they're sending it to knows about it, except one more. God knows about it. And you think you got that thing hid and nobody's ever going to find out about it? That's not very likely. Somewhere along the way, you're going to slip up. Somewhere you're going to mess up, and somebody's going to catch you, and then what you going to do about it? You willing to lose your family, lose your children, lose everything you have down there for that? But that's what's going on. People sending texts, making phone calls, saying little things to people they work with that they know are inappropriate, flirting around with them. Y'all know what I'm saying is the truth. Flirting around with people they work with. They're a married person. Got a husband, got a wife, got children, but they're flirting around with somebody they work with, saying inappropriate things, doing stuff like that, and nobody knows about it but them and maybe that individual and the Lord. If you got this stuff there, it's been going on, and you could just go on and on with the list. Let me say what God's message is this morning. Just in case. There's somebody here in this building today that's in the category we're talking about. Let me say that to you, God's message is dig it up. It is time for you to deal with that because you will not progress any farther. You will just live in a state of defeat and discouragement and death for the rest of your life, as long as you continue to hide whatever it is that you're hiding in your life. God says, dig it up. Look right here in Joshua chapter 7. Let me show you this. Verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent. You know what they did? They dug it up. That's what they did. It's hid in the earth. They go in there and they find it. They dig it up and they bring it out. They took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. You read the rest of this chapter and you see that they dealt with that sin. And then in chapter 8, they move on and they have some victory. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've got some stuff in your life that's forbidden. You've been holding on to it for a long time. You know what God's saying to you this morning? He's saying, dig it up. It's time right now for you to quit playing games, and quit hiding it, quit taking chances. And when I say dig it up, I'm not necessarily saying you got to come talk to me or anybody else about it, but you do need to talk to God about it. You need to dig that thing up and get rid of it right now. I mean, you don't need to live another moment of your life with whatever that is in your life. God is saying to you this morning, dig it up. Maybe that is the very reason why he had this sermon preached. He's trying to talk to you this morning. He's in his gracious, merciful way, what he's doing through this message is just reminding you, hey, I got your number. You're not kidding me. I know what you're doing. I know what's in your life, and I'm giving you one more chance to dig it up and deal with it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And as we get ready to have our invitation this morning, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to dig it up? Whatever that thing is, it's there. Maybe it's been there for years and years and years, and you've just done such a good job of hiding it from others, and nobody knows about it. Just maybe you, or maybe you and a few other people, but you've just been hiding it. All it's doing is ruining your life. Won't you dig it up this morning? Won't you deal with it? Put it on the altar. Get rid of it where you can have victory. Heavenly Father, we ask that you please help us now during this invitation. There's somebody here this morning that's hiding some stuff out in their tent, in their earthen vessel. God, I pray that you would help them this morning to see how serious it is. Help them to see that you know all about it, and that you're giving them a chance right now before things have to get any worse than they already are to deal with it. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Scott.